Mazer streaks away, power flying.
Welcome back to another edition of the Power Podcast. This week I'm joined by Birdie.
Hey, how's it going?
And your host Hamish, Ham and 40 are otherwise engaged. So it'll just be the two of us giving you a rundown. Birdie will be our official, unofficial expert on all things junior finals coming up.
Yeah, look, if Brad Arthur can coach and do a bad job, surely I can. Is that too soon to get the hot takes out?
Well, talking about bad job, let's jump straight into it. NRL Eels go down 41-8 against the Raiders in Canberra. It could have been worse given Fogarty hit 4 from 7 conversions and 2 from 2 penalty goals. And, of course, that halftime field goal where there was zero pressure put on him, even though everybody could see where it was going to go. We'll just go into some team stats. So we only had 44% of the ball. We completed at 77%. It was in the 60s at some points. We were outgained by about 500 metres, if not more, an extra 200-odd post-contact metres, 9 line breaks to 3, 38 tackle breaks to 20. Play the ball speed was slightly slower. And then looking at the defensive side of the ball, 376 tackles completed to the Raiders 269, so over 100 extra tackles, only missing 38 and 18 ineffective, which is quite surprising considering how poor our first up contact was. We gave 10 errors to the Raiders 11. We conceded 10 penalties to the Raiders 3. Only one inside 10. The Raiders had one ruck infringement and one inside 10. Birdie, I start with you. Birdie rant.
To quote one guy, there is no passion, there's no aggression, there's no vision. I don't get this team. Like, I'm sorry to swear, every Tom, Dick and Harry knew the Raiders were going to respond after Ricky Stewart blasted them. In the press conference, he literally humiliated them, said no one deserves anything, no one played well, so you knew there was going to be a reaction. Now, okay, we didn't get embarrassed last week, or it is embarrassing to lose to the Tigers, but you want a reaction to it, and we just did nothing. Like, I just don't know, our contact is dog shit. Like, I'm telling you, you look at the outside backs, I think Tomoko had 8 tackle breaks. Now, I know he's a very powerful unit, like, this defense is all attitude. Like, drive your shoulder. And I'm not going to... Look, I don't want to blast the kid because it's in his third game. But I've seen him play, 3 games now? I haven't seen him use his shoulder once. He has two... Blaise Talangi, I'm talking about. He has too many arm grabs. Now, I'm just putting it down to him. He's only an 18-year-old kid. This guy was playing SG ball last year. So, I'm giving him a pass. But this is where poor defensive habits start to grow and then it becomes part of your game. Like, Jermaine Hopgood came from the Penrith system and he was our best tackler. You know, he's still our best tackler, like his technique. So this team has a very poor defensive attitude. No one likes to use the shoulder. Like, Reg, you know, when he gets fired up, he likes to use it. But, you know, like, people say, oh, put this loss down to Moses. Moses ain't the one out there missing the tackles. You know, you look at everyone just like, they just look tired, rudderless. And, you know, like, it doesn't help that we're knocking the ball on inside their 20, but there's literally zero respect. I thought last year was bad, how they just disrespected the opposition and, you know, they just thought they'll get the job done, but there's zero respect at all in this team. And, you know, I can't find anyone that had a good game. Like, I legit can't find anyone. I don't know. We're in a bad spot at the moment, short-term and long-term-wise. I think this roster is, you know, I used to make fun of Manly being so top heavy, but we're worse, you know, like we're screwed. I don't know how to get out of this bubble, but I just don't know what to do. I don't know what else to say, you know, like not one bit of, you know, respect at all for this team.
Yeah, I think just on that, you know, it was just all across the park defensively. Obviously, the Raiders spotted us up pretty early that Our marker defense is extremely poor and lazy. They were just running forwards back, straight back under the ruck, and just finding gap after gap after gap in that same spot. And then after they softened up the middle and our forwards weren't up for the battle, they just spread it wide and they had a feast on either edge. As you said, sparking up Blaise Talangi was a main target, but then over on the other edge, they were also sparking up on that side too. As you said, defence is attitude, and there wasn't very much attitude shown on the weekend. And I guess leading into the previews, that's why the Brad Arthur's named a very different team to run out this weekend. But, you know, yeah, I think we're expecting a loss. We never play well down in Canberra. But the performance that was dished up was just disgraceful. I turned it off with 20 minutes to go when, what was that, who scored that try? From the Raiders. Sorry, I'm just trying to remember his name, the one that plays for Origin.
Hudson Young.
Yeah, Hudson Young. When he, that just simple breakthrough was just constant.
And you know what's funny? Like, if you go back to last year, we played the Raiders again. Tim O'Connor had a very identical try where he literally just went up the middle and we had lazy arm grab. You know, it's just so, this isn't like a one-off thing. This is over 2-3 years where our defense, like structure or impact or technique is absolutely dog shit. I don't know what they train. I don't know what they do in the sandpit out there besides growing boils and shit. I don't know what they do at training, you know, because in attack, they don't know what they're doing, and defense, they don't know what they're doing. So they're just literally robbing a wage out there. I don't know who's our defensive coach, but put me in there. I'm more qualified than whatever nufty's in there. Like, and then, look, I'm going to go back to the rant again. We're only down 13-0 at halftime, and the two tries that they scored were long-range tries. Now, get it, long-range tries, you know, like it's like that Ethan Strange, he broke a tackle, like three tackles, right? But they didn't dominate us to the point where they were, like, building pressure on us inside the set, inside our red zone. So we're sort of in it. Like, you know, if we go into halftime 12-6, we're happy. Like, you know, we're like, what the hell's going on? But we just cut up through the middle and just long-range try after. We're just under assault, whether you like it or not. And, yeah, just no one. It looked like, literally, it looked like no one wanted to be there. I can't find anyone that wanted to be there.
Yep. Well, there's just really nothing to take out of that. That's just a game which shows how far behind we are. And if things don't turn around very quickly, we're currently sitting at 2-3. This is going to be a 2018/2023 all over again. Yep. Diabolical performance. Let's go to another diabolical performance in the New South Wales Cup. So those of you who have New South Wales RL TV would have seen this one. The only reason this was so close, and, you know, there's 24 points separating them, is the Raiders couldn't kick a conversion to save their life up until the 78th minute. So 7-1. Makahesi Makatoa being the only one to go over there. Again, the defence displayed by the reserve grade team mirrored what occurred in the first grade contest. Bertie, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, I didn't watch this game, but I'm sure, like, from the games I've watched that have been on TV, it's pretty much a carbon copy of it. You know, look at the first game of the season. You know, we lost the game, like, what, 36-38. This team can't defend. Now, once again, I'm going to go back, rinse and repeat. Don't know what they're doing at training, but no one knows how to defend at this club. You look at the Panthers, right? You know, you can't hate, look, I mean, you can hate the Panthers if it been rivals, but everyone at that club knows how to play football and how they're going to defend, right? Everyone in their structure just knows how to do it. And yet you look at us, you know, we've had coaches come in and out. We've had players that were playing and coaching. Like, it's literally like we're just trying to survive out there and we're just trying to get through the season. And we don't take the New South Wales Cup seriously. Because the amount of investment in that squad or development in that squad is diabolical. You know, players coming in and out, people playing weird positions. Like, there's no plan. There's no plan for first grade. So what hopes do you have for reserve grade? So I don't know. Like, you know, gone are the days where you can drop a player to reserve grade to work on their craft. Like, there's no one coming from reserve grade that's pushing a case. Like, who can you say it? Like, who can legitimately say, you know what? The only ones that are improving are the ones that are out injured because they're not hurting their stock at the moment.
Yep, exactly. And, yeah, I've said it before. I still don't understand the appointment of Kalis as the reserve grade coach. You know, tried and tested both here and over at the Warriors with little success. yeah, there's got to be better options out there. But yeah, it's showing a great lack of depth across the whole squad. When you get performances like this, like just looking at the outside backs there, obviously Harper comes back up to first grade this week, but you know, there's really not that much in the back line there. And then even across the rest of the pack, but for some bright sparks at Matt Arthur when he came in at dummy half, that they really didn't show very much.
And like I can make the argument that it's okay with this reserve grade team because, like, I don't want to sound hypocritical, because let's be honest, I think half the squad last year were playing Jersey Flag and SG Ball, so that's okay. But the leaders that are in the top 30 that are veterans, that literally should be fighting to get back into first grade. Unless you're only, if you're okay playing reserve grade and getting paid, then get the hell out of the club, because everyone's goal right now should be playing first grade. And in order to do that, you should be playing your best football. So I'm talking about the likes of Ogden, Makatoa, Hands, you know, RC, like Zach Sini, for God's sake, made his debut, been on our top 30 for the past 2 years, not getting the crack. Like, surely you guys are not happy or content with playing reserve grade for the rest of your life. Play well so you can get a deal with us, so you can deserve to be in first grade, or get a deal somewhere else. But just toiling away in reserve grade? Like, what are you? Daniel Alvaro's? Like, I don't get it.
All right, well, let's go to the flag there. And again, not much joy going down 22-16 against the Raiders there. Try scorers Hunter Tweedle with a double. Yeah, don't have too much to go on this one. So let's go to the news. Anything big in the news? I haven't seen anything really.
I mean, I think the only thing I can see in the news is probably like they mentioned on, and if you call this news as well, they mentioned on NRL 360 yesterday that we're probably in the hunt for Ben, Wayne Bennett. Why am I getting my stuff mixed up? Yeah, we're in the hunt for Wayne Bennett, but you know, honestly, we're going to need Jesus. We're going to need everyone to fix this club. And yeah, I think Bennett just like is like a band-aid solution, because this is like deep. We need help. We need to go from top to bottom.
Yeah. If it continues on how it has last year and to start this year, you're not wrong. I think there needs to be a broom put through. Well, let's move to some positive news, which is the juniors. So after having a week off, we're ready for the finals, which will start in the Lisa Fiola Cup with the Eels taking on the Knights. So in this competition, the Eels finishing in third, playing the Knights in sixth. So it's top six competition. Having said that, Newcastle won 5, lost 3 across the season, whereas the Eels won 6, lost 2. Our for and against is 142 to the Knights 104. So both teams that can score tries and were fairly handy defensively. And given, you know, the way that the all three grades who have made the finals finish the season, they'd be hoping to go to the next round.
There's one name. Look, I'm going to be honest, I don't know any of the ladies, young ladies, for the Lisa Fiola Cup, but there is one name that sort of like sticks out. I'm curious. She played on the bench in our last game against the Panthers. Her name, Anika Penatani. Just curious, you know, and it's a shame both Ham and 49 on here, but I just want to know if there's any relations to former Eel Tiana Penatani.
Perhaps, yeah, I just don't know.
Yeah, so other than that, I'm just having a quick look at the... there's a Sivo in the team as well, Mary Sivo. So, yeah, I'm just trying to think of if there's any names I can recognise. But, I think the less said, the better.
So that game is taking place 1:30 p.m. on Saturday the 13th of April at Leichhardt Oval, also broadcast on New South Wales Rugby League TV. And then over to the Harold Matts, the Eels taking on the Warriors on Sunday the 14th of April at 10 a.m. So at the end of the season, the Eels in third, Warriors in sixth, the Eels winning six, drawing... Oh, no. That's not right. Yeah, winning six games, sorry, with the Warriors winning five. And then the points differential there, we scored 220, let in 105, positive 115, whereas the Warriors scored 170 but let in 159 with a positive 11 differential. So again, with how the Mats finished up and how successful they were throughout the season, they'd definitely be wanting to be pressing on to the next round of these finals. Anything to add there, Birdie?
Once again, I'm not going to pretend like I know anything, but it's actually good to see the Harold Mats make the finals. But yeah, I'm surprised. Actually, I am surprised. Did not know the Warriors actually had a Harold Mats team. You know, I did not know the Harold Mats actually expanded out to New Zealand. I thought it was just a Western Australia thing, sort of thing. That's as far as we go. So yeah, very interesting.
And then we go into the SG Ball. Again, this one out at Leichhardt Oval and taking place on Sunday, the 14th of April at 11:30 a.m. So this should directly follow on from the SG Ball. Bulldogs taking on the Eels. Again, broadcast on New South Wales Rugby League Live TV. And in this competition, we finished fifth to the Bulldogs fourth. The Bulldogs getting a draw in there, which saw them lifted above us. Very prolific scorers in this competition, the Bulldogs, 306 points. They're the second best scorers in the comp, but letting in 176 to our 258 scored, 190 let in. So the SG Ball were a bit up and down, but finished the season off rather well to snag a place in the finals. And I'll just double check. I don't know if these two teams played each other. They must have played each other at some point during the comp. But Birdie, for you, was there anything that stands out there in the Mats? In the SG Ball.
This is going to sound so bad, but there is one player and he actually plays for the Bulldogs. So Mitchell Woods, halfback. The only reason I know is I'm a massive Sydney Swans fan. So and I know he was on the books or he's in a part of the academy, and it was literally a toss-up between us, the Bulldogs, and actually the Waratahs. You know, he's a three-year code sport player. So yeah, I had a feeling I knew he was going to stay with the Bulldogs because he was offered a deal, like to be in the top 30. So yeah, all I understand is this guy is very talented for a half, big kicking game and a great running game. So yeah, it's kind of been one of those ones where like, oh, I wish he was playing for the Swans, you know. But that's the only name I can think of that stands out in the SG Ball team. I mean, Mo Almadine, I've heard a few things from Ham about him, that he's a decent finisher, but other than that, I'm not too familiar with this team.
And just looking back, so all the way back on the 2nd of March, the two teams faced off and the Bulldogs went up 32-16, so they'll have a task on their hands here in the SG Ball to get over the top of the Bulldogs, but hopefully they can get a bit of a revenge game going there. Then let's move on to the Flag, which will see the Eagles taking on the Storm at New Era Stadium, just out at Granville, 3 p.m. Saturday, the 13th of April. Birdie, casting your eye over that squad, what are your thoughts?
Oh, okay. Listen, I'm not prepared for this, so I'm just going to have a quick quick gazer around it. Let me have a look at this team. Surely I know one name.
In the Flag, Tweedle. The Storm are coming sixth. And the Eagles,
Tweedle.
12th.
I know Tweedle. He's a good good fullback. Who else? Oh, Tuivati. I did not know he's still eligible for Jersey Flag. You know, like, I thought he'll be, playing reserve grade right now. You know, I legit did not know he was still under 21s eligible. So, oh, Saxon Pryke, another one. Yeah, so it's very interesting. I'm trying to look at the Melbourne Storm team. Yeah, I can't think of anyone. Can't see anyone there, so I mean, Sam Tuivati, okay, I don't know much about junior football, but all I know, and Ham keeps mentioning him, he's literally Junior Paulo's replacement. And he's got great footwork, and yeah, so I guess hopefully he has a big game, you know, we're cheering for him, but yeah, I'm not too, everyone else I'm not too familiar with.
Yeah, and just saying that, the Flag are presently winless, coming against the Storm, who have had 3 wins, 2 losses. So, it's time to get that season starting. And then in New South Wales Cup, we have Eagles in 13th, taking on the Bears in 3rd, Saturday the 13th of April, 3 p.m. This one's at CommBank and also on New South Wales Rugby League TV. So it's the curtain race at a first grade. Looking there, a couple of big ins for the reserve grade team. You got Blaise Talangi coming in. You got Makasivo and Meni Luke also coming back in with Wiramu Greg. But they do lose Ethan Martin. I don't know what's going on there. He seems to be in and out of this grade. I didn't mind what I saw from him at fullback. You know, he was trying his ass off, even with a couple of errors. And Morgan Harper obviously goes, and Dejon Arce go up to first grade team. But just looking at that, the back line looks a lot better with Blaze there. Sivo, Tago on the wings. Luizu and Sini in the centres. Brandon Hands is starting at 5'8", with Ethan Sanders at 7. Matt Arthur starting hooker, which is definitely an upgrade, with Meni Luke on the extended bench. Having a look at the Bears, they're not a feeder club anymore, I don't think. So I think they're just a reserve grade team. But as I said, they're running third in this competition. They've won 3, lost 1.
I think they're actually linked with the Melbourne Storm.
Are they?
Yeah, that's why there's a few...
Bergerman.
And Nelson played there last week. That's why.
I see.
Yeah, I think they got the link with the Bears. Sorry, with the Melbourne Storm.
All right, well, looking at that, it's, you know, definitely it's going to be difficult to win this game as well, and, you know, winless in reserve grade too. It's just, yeah, it's not a great place to be in, is it, to have two feeder teams without a win weeks into the competition.
I honestly don't know what we're going to do when we get a dub. I don't think they know the team song, actually. So actually, I wouldn't be surprised if there actually is a team song. So I've got to give credits, man. Brad Arthur, you got a set of nuts on you, because this is the first time you've ever dropped a player that I can recall. I don't remember the last player he's dropped due to poor form. You know,
I think Jennings back in 2018, probably.
And that's the like. And I'm not saying you should drop someone each week, but if you're telling me, right? Okay, now we've had injuries and suspensions over the years, but if you're telling me the only reason you've had to send a message to the roster is since has been when you dropped a player in 2018. That shows he's got too much loyalty to these players, right? Okay, or he's kind of like what Dimitri is right now at the moment. Just doesn't want to have a tough conversation. So, look, I personally think this club is soft. They don't like to have tough conversations, especially when it comes to recruitment. That's why we sort of overpay for players or keep them a little bit longer. But it's about time Sivo's been dropped. You know, there's a reason why he made his debut as a late 25-year-old, 26-year-old. I just think he has a shit attitude. Doesn't like to rock out the board. Likes to finish the tries. And yeah, I just don't understand. You know, it's about time. You know, been waiting for so long. Interesting to see Sanders is still there. At this point, I'll just release him right now. There's no point. Like, I know, some people make an argument that we need someone to run these sessions. He's not in the top 30. Like, you need that kind of stuff. But if the poor kid ain't getting a go right now, he's never going to get a go. So yeah, I don't know. In terms of the forward pack, it's good to see Charlie Garmer still starting in the edges. I'm just trying to think of anyone else. Like Matt Arthur, once again, you know, if he's the best player in this team, and you know, he's only just turned what 19, 20, I believe it is. So yeah, this team is very. It's kind of depressing looking at this. I just want to see Blaze respond, get his hands on the ball a bit more. But I don't think he's a half anymore, or in the halves anymore. I think he's destined for the future. He's destined for the centres or the wing, or fullback going forward.
Well, with that positive note, let's move into first grade.
that's as positive as I'm going to get tonight.
Eagles in 14th, taking on the Cowboys in 2nd. So a couple of big ins there. Cartwright, Arce, McAtoa and Ogden, name on the extended bench, but there has been a change in the halves, so let's go through that team list. First, I'll start with Cowboys, which are pretty much unchanged from last week. Scott Drinkwater, except for their centre, obviously. Scott Drinkwater at fullback, Felt and Tuolungi on the wings, Holmes and Chester in the centres, Dearden, Townsend in the halves, McLean and Taumalolo starting props, Reece Robson at hooker, Finafuiaki and Nanai on the edge, Ruben Cotter at lock, Jake Granville, Griffin Neame, Sam McIntyre and Jack Jetski on the interchange bench, extended bench Clifford Michaeli, Valamai, Shibasaki and Valia. Then for us, we have Gutherson fullback, and do we think he'll be kicking this week? He hasn't been that great off the boot.
to be honest, that's probably a question. Look, I don't know. Can we actually score a try?
Well, let's keep going. Bailey Simonson moves to the wing from centre. Sean Russell, the other wing. Morgan Harper comes back up at centre with Will Penasini. Dejon Arcee comes into the team at 6 with Dylan Brown at 7. And then on the starting forwards, RCG Junior Paolo is currently named to start, but we're hoping he goes back to the bench. Joey Lussick starting 9. Sean Lane, Bryce Cartwright comes into the team at lock. At second row with Jermaine Hopgood at lock. Then the bench is Luca Moretti, Ryan Madison, Joe O, Kelma Tuolangi, and the extended bench, Joe O, Blaise Tuolangi, Wiramu Greg, and Makasi Makatoa, and Mika Sibo. So looking at that, Birdie, it's probably a better team list, and I think we've stopped moving around three different players to try and cover one. Dejon Arcee, whilst I know he's named in the 6, he has more of a typical sort of kicking game that you'd want from sort of a half where they can share the load between the two of them.
Yeah, look, you know, he did all right last year, you know, to cover for, you know, Moses for a bit and even Dylan Brown. Like, I just, you know, as I said in the preview for the reserve grade, I just don't know what more Sanders can do. Like, I'm not saying he's doing a lot, but if we're desperate, let's be honest, we really are desperate. If we're literally, you know, we gave Tuolangi the 5-8 position after the second game, after his first game. Like, I just don't know. Like, it's just a Band-Aid solution at the moment. So, I mean, he can't get any worse, surely. Like, surely he can't get any worse, right? So, I actually don't mind a forward pack on the bench, especially a bench. I know we don't have cover for Lussick, but I don't mind it. Like, Tuolangi, we need to start using him a bit more, you know. I'm not a fan of Ryan Madison starting. I think he's a plotter. I just honestly think he's too slow, and he just doesn't offer anything at the moment, you know. So, yeah, I just it's good to see Bryce Cartwright back, you know. I can't put down him and Moses being out is the reason why we're so shit, so... Yeah, it's. I know. Do you reckon Junior will start? I think he'll start because Jordan and Tomalolo, you know, decent size forwards, and we're going to have to try and dominate. We're going to have to try and lead the whole way this game. So
I think the theory of, or at least if we're not too far behind or on pace, starting Joe O for mine is the better option. And then bring Junior on. If Junior is coming on, he needs to remember to run first. You know, he doesn't need to ball play, even though we are down Mitch Moses. He's not a halfback. He is a starting forward who has in his arsenal the ability to offload and ball play a bit, but his real strength is he is 15-20 kilo wrecking ball. Just run the fucking ball hard, please, Tunes. Because I thought he was extremely disappointing last week.
Well, if that's the case, you might as well just start him. Like, you know, I understand it worked all right the first few weeks, you know, like, with him off the bench. But we beat the Bulldogs, who are, at the time, were pretty shit. We lost to the Panthers, right? Like, we haven't played... Like, if you're telling... We've only had 2 wins this year, right? And I can't pick out of the two which one's their best performance, because they've both been like, you know, they've both been like, ugh. So why not just start your players, your best 13, get the ball rolling. That way, we can make it simple for the people off the bench, just run hard. With Junior, like, I feel as though he thinks, I need to do something, you know? I need to break this game open or something. Just get us in the position. We don't have to win the game in the first 20 minutes. We can win it in the last 5 minutes, but try not to lose the game in the first half. So there's nothing wrong with tucking the ball in under. Like, I won't hate if they just did 5 runs, because you know what? At least we complete our set. At least we're not doing errors, you know? So just keep it simple.
Yep. All right. So other changes throughout that, Harper coming back in. You know, do you think that helps? Well, I think with, you know, shoot me down, Bryce Cartwright back on that right edge, we'll tighten up the defensive patterns there, but also Morgan Harper and then Bailey on the wing. It's probably not the best centre wing pairing that we have, but I guess it's better than the alternative at this point. Sivo just, you know, a justified dropping.
Yeah, look, just a lot of like chopping and changing plays, changing from side to side. Like, yeah, look, I don't know. I think Val Holmes going up against Harper?
I'm not sure. I think Val plays right side, I want to say. So, yes. Then again, Val Holmes hasn't been very good this season, to be honest.
Nah, but like, it's just, yeah, he's not like a speed burner. So, because for some reason, you know, we all know Harper just gets burnt a lot, right? So, I'm just hoping this team can just stick hard. Oh, sorry, not stick hard, stick solid, and just don't let them outrun you, or don't try and man up. Don't have an overlap, because I'm sick and tired of seeing this team getting overlaps, overlap, you know, especially from scrums. Like, they don't count. Like, no one looks up, but don't count.
All right, well, let's go to some team stats. So we've played the Cowboys 45 times since the NRL came back together in 98. So 22 wins apiece and a draw. And then last year we split these games. We won this corresponding fixture at home 24-16. And then up at Cowboys Stadium, they won 24-16 as well. So we scored. It was a reflection of each other's games. Having said that, Cowboys have a very, very poor record away from Queensland and a quite poor record at this stadium, winning only six of their 20 games here. So, Birdie, what can I put you down for?
Sorry, I had my mic muted. Usually, I'm very optimistic on this team, you know, 30-plus, like scoring 30-plus, but this could be a dour game with the rain that we've had this week. Put me down for, like, Parramatta 10, Cowboys 0. Hot take here, we will shut them out. Don't know how it's going to happen, but we will shut out the Cowboys. And Brad Arthur is going to be sitting at the end of the game and be like, where the hell did that come from, that defensive effort? So, yeah, I'm going to go first try scorer. I'm going to go Morgan Harper. And I reckon he's going to scoot or burrow over from dummy half. So, yeah, this is going to be a flaw. This is going to be a bludge of a game with the wet weather and ball control. But it'll be a low scoring game. So yeah.
All right, and then Ham is down for. Sorry, I forgot his review, which was Sivo equals soft and Paulo equals soft. His preview: Eels need to be better. Para 14, Cowboys 8. First try scorer Gutho. Put me down. I think we just can't defend at this point, so we're going to have to outscore the Cowboys, who have shown they can attack quite well. I'm going to go 32 to the Cowboys 28. First try scorer, put me down for Bailey on the wing. And I don't have one from 40, unfortunately.
Well, if I know 40, like I usually do, I'd suggest he'd say Parramatta 50. Cowboys 48. So yeah, it'd be a real shootout.
It definitely sounds like our 40. All right, well, we might just leave it there. Very dour, depressing episode. Let's hope we turn it around this week. Or otherwise, it will be a further dour and depressing episode next week. And then just looking ahead at the Eels draw, things are not going to get much easier after that. We do have the Dolphins, who have, you know, been quite good this year. Then we've got to play the Manly at Brookvale, which is always a tough assignment. Then we've got the Broncos, the Storm, which are also tough assignments. And then thereafter, you've got the Rabbitohs, who are probably in a worse slump than we are at this point. But, you know, anything could change when they've got Latrell out for a while, and they've obviously wielding the axe there by dropping Damien Cook this week. But first, let's get back to some winning ways, some better defensive resolve, and let's turn things around against the Cowboys this Saturday at 5:30 p.m. at home, and hope to see you there for a packed Eels stadium. Cheers.
Yep, have a good one, lads.